Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hej och hjärtligt välkomna till Travel News podcast. I den här podcasten så intervjuar vi kändisar och makthavare i reseindustrin. Och idag har jag träffat Mohammed som är Nordenchef på Singapore Airlines. Han berättar varför bolaget gjorde en rekordvinst senast. Varför man föredrar att flyga från Kastrup och inte från Stockholm till Singapore. Och framtidsplaner, vad ska de göra? Jo, de ska naturligtvis köpa ungefär 100 flygplan till. Nu får du veta allt om hur det funkar att flyga, driva ett flygbolag i Asien. Jag sitter här på ett PR-kontor på Östermalm i Stockholm med Singapore Airlines Nordenchef. Och vi börjar väl med den mest vettiga frågan. Who are you and what's your title?
I'm Mohammed Raimi. I'm from Singapore and my title here is General Manager of Nordics for Singapore Airlines. I'm based in Copenhagen. I've been there since August of 2021. I've about almost 10 years of experience in the company. So I started out as a network planning analyst for Singapore Airlines, meaning analyzing the routes and the planes for fleet requirements for Singapore Airlines. And then I moved on to India, where I was based there for 4 years in Chennai. And then subsequently, here I am in Copenhagen.
Okay. And how many are you flying from Copenhagen to Singapore? How many times and what kind of airplane?
So we are flying 5 times weekly from Copenhagen, Kastrup, and we are flying the A350-900 with about 253 seats on board the aircraft. Yeah.
And how many people is normally on the plane? Is it the cabin factor?
Yeah. So currently in the last maybe 1 year or so, it's probably around 88% load factor. Usually very full in all cabin classes at differing times of the year. And of course, the peak period travel is almost impossible to get a seat. Yeah.
What are you competing with? Is it price or is it comfort or is it both price and comfort? And why should people choose Singapore and, for example, not Emirates or Turkish? What's your selling points?
I think firstly, we have the SIA brand promise that we don't necessarily compete on price, but we ensure that we serve our brand promise, which is the product leadership, whereby we have the best in class product. We try to have the best seats, the best cabin crew, and so on. Service is another one, another thing that we are very well known for. I think recently we were the best cabin crew for the Skytrax Award. And lastly is network connectivity. So as an international airline, network connectivity is very important. So we are based and our hub is in Singapore. We ensure that we have the connectivity for especially Nordic travelers to travel into many different destinations in Southeast Asia and in Southwest Pacific, Australia, New Zealand.
And why don't you fly from Stockholm?
So we flew from Stockholm, Arlanda, back pre-pandemic, and that was back in 2019-2020. We flew via Moscow, a one-stop in Moscow before flying on to Singapore. But of course, now it's not possible to do so because of known reasons. And I think there's also the issue of the economic viability of the flight because of the airspace closure and everything that's happening in Ukraine. And finally, we also have a very strong partnership with SAS, who is feeding into our hub, especially travelers from Sweden, into our operations in Copenhagen to Singapore.
We'll get back to SAS. Yeah. Singapore Airline, you're doing a lot of money last year. Why are you making so much money?
Yes, so we had released a very good result, financial result, and I'm going to speak a bit here, not particularly about the result, but what led to the result. And I think this all started during the pandemic itself. So when the pandemic happened, I think we as an international airlines without any domestic destinations or routes, we are entirely reliant on borders opening, on different countries, you know, allowing us to fly, carrying passengers. So without that, we were at our lowest point around April and May of 2020, where we flew only 3% of our capacity. But I guess there was a lot of foresight, a lot of strategic driven decisions to ensure that we remain airline, a viable airline. So one of the first thing that, of course, I think every airline was looking for at back in 2020 when the pandemic first hit was, how do you get enough liquidity, enough cash to sustain the operations? And one of the first thing was done was to raise bonds, rights issue, and so on, raise many different modes of liquidity, and to the tune of 100, almost probably in Swedish crown, you'll probably about 140 to 150 billion Swedish crown that we raised in liquidity. So armed with that, we are able to invest and we are able to continue our operation. We're able.
Where did that money come from?
From rights issue, from sales and leaseback, from issuing mandatory convertible bonds. So there's many, many different sources of funding that comes from. So a lot of it comes from our shareholders who are public shareholders because we are a publicly listed airline on the Singapore Stock Exchange. So all that money, armed with all that money, we are able to be confident that we can remain and survive as an airline, and we continue to invest for the future. So even during the pandemic, we decided to, for example, refurbish our lounge in Singapore. We also decided to continue on with our retrofit program for our A380s, the suites, especially the new suites, and also to retrofit our B737 aircraft with full flat lie seats on our narrow body aircraft. So we continue to do that, and at the same time, the second thing that we did was to keep our people as much as possible together. So while there was still a retrenchment that happened, which was a painful exercise, we kept a lot of our cabin crew, a lot of our pilots, not necessarily through flying. At one point in time, we outsourced, in a sense, to many different industries that require it. So in Singapore, there's a requirement for those in the healthcare sector, for example, because there was a shortage for people to manage the quarantine facilities or to be COVID swabbers. So a lot of our cabin crew and our pilots were outsourced to those, to that industry, particular industry that requires it, while at the same time still remain on our books to be it, so that we can recall them as soon as possible when flying comes back. And the third thing that we do is to keep everybody ready for the restart. So what we did, while we did store aircraft, as many airlines do, we kept a lot of them flying still. We kept a lot of our cabin crew flying. We kept a lot of our pilots flying so that they are very, in a sense, recent in their you know, their processes and everything. So while we are only operating, say, single digit of our capacity, more than 50% of our cabin crew and our pilots were still flying at that point of time, even though at a lower utilization. But at the same time, it allows them to be trained. And when travel restart, we do not have to really train them again because they are continually being refreshed with new processes and so on during the pandemic. So these three things allow us to rebound quickly than most other airlines. So we were kind of like first of the blocks when travel reopens. So if you recall, I think in back in 2021, I think Europe was more or less reopened. Travel between Europe was reopened, but in Asia Pacific was closed. So when we had the aircraft, we had the pilots, we had the cabin crew, so we started a route out of Copenhagen, not just between Singapore and Copenhagen, but between Copenhagen and Rome, just because we can carry fifth freedom traffic between the two countries, two destinations. So not only that, we also, just prior to that, we operated our aircraft, passenger aircraft, just primarily carrying cargo, which continued the air links and the trade links between Denmark and Singapore and as well as beyond. So we were ready, we were prepared, we were first off the block, so we could capture the pent-up demand while many our competitors were still trying to ramp up. We were already there. Yeah.
Okay, and the result, how good was it?
It was the best in our 76-year history of Singapore Airlines. So you can say that it was really very good. I mean, and it's not only there's a lot of records in that. It's record profit, of course, but we also achieve record load factor. We also achieve record net profit, and we also achieve record revenue per ASK. So a lot of the records, all these led to a very good set of results for us in the last financial year.
Do you think this is a period, or this is a big change in the aircraft industry, that the profits are going to remain high? Today we heard about Ryanair making a lot of money as well. Do you think this is a big trend, or this is a 1 year super experience and then it will go back to like tougher times?
I think there's a lot of factors that will lead to dampened, I guess, yields, for example, because as more and more of our competitors ramp up their capacity, not just to the Nordics, but to elsewhere around the world as well, you expect to have the softening of the yields. You expect not to be able to command the fares that we were commanding before. So that is expected. And at the same time, I think inflation with, almost everywhere, in every country, that would lead to, of course, our costs rising as well, moving forward. So it's, while, of course, we would strive to maintain the profit or to be even better than this, but we have to understand that I think the macroeconomic environment is also not very favorable. I think, of course, the war as well is also putting an impact, especially to our flying route. For example, in our Copenhagen to Singapore route, I think the flying time has also increased in a sense. And of course, with flying time increase, you have more fuel burn and so on. So a lot of these factors coming in together, you have your weakening cargo demand because of, you know, there's talk about recession coming soon as well. So all these things, I think it's a lot of very dark clouds in ahead. But at the same time, we do see very, very good demand in the coming 6-7 months or so, and especially as well in the winter peak as well. So we see a lot of demand coming in. We see a lot of people are booking early. So we see very good high advanced load factors for our flights. So we are confident that while there are dark clouds in the horizon, still there are very, very good sprouts in that sense for demand on the demand side of things.
You're competing long haul with Emirates and with Qatar Airways and Turkish Airways. What you describe the situation between them? Will all of them stay strong, or will there be new low price carriers? What will happen in that long haul market from Nordic to and also Europe to Asia?
I think the long haul market has been very resilient. There's a lot of talk whereby, after the pandemic, people are not traveling again or won't travel. Maybe business or corporate travel will not come back. But I think what we have seen from the results of the Middle East carriers, or for Turkish Airlines, for us Singapore Airlines, is that the long haul market has been very resilient. People are still willing to travel. People want to travel, not just for leisure, but also for the corporate market. So because we see a very, very good demand for our business class cabin, not specifically just only from the business travelers, but also from people traveling leisure, because people appreciate or start to appreciate the comfort, the space, the exclusivity of the business class cabin as well. So we are competing with the Middle East carriers and all, there is room for everyone to play in this market. And I think that competition is always good. And I think competition also allows us to strive to be better than what we are now. And with competition, I think we look forward to, and we will always continue to improve. And of course, we hope that we will serve our customers the best as we can, I mean, as compared to all the other carriers. But I'm unable to comment on specifically their service, their connectivity and all that. But I think we focus on ourselves, we focus on our customers, we focus on what the customers want. And that's where I think our biggest differentiating factor is.
I spoke with the CEO of SAS some weeks ago, and he said now is the time to consolidate the European air market. What do you think will happen in that question?
I think in terms of consolidation, I think that happens in many mature markets around the world. So what specifically would happen to European, the European carriers, you also do see certain form of consolidation, especially after, or rather during the pandemic itself, when certain carriers went down, and then after that, there are certain acquisitions here and there. So that would, I guess, continue to happen. But at the same time, I think we are focused and that we want to continue working with SAS especially for intra-Scandinavian travel to fit into our Copenhagen hub. And we believe that SAS has been a very good partner and will always continue to be moving forward. Been looking at their operations here, it has not been really interrupted, even though they are in Chapter 7 bankruptcy proceedings. But we have very good cooperation with SAS, very good coordination, especially on our schedules and especially for the corporate market here in Scandinavia. So we will continue to work with them on that. In terms of consideration, any consideration moving forward, further between any other carriers, I think for that I'm not able to comment on anything. As you can see, in many merchant market, that does happen from time to time.
But do you think that, for example, if there were like the big three networks in Europe, I'm thinking IAG, Lufthansa, and Air France, KLM, do you think they will like take parts of a long-haul market that you have together with SAS today?
Do you mean taking the long-haul market share from the same level?
Yes, now the long-haul, SAS supplies it with long-haul customers. In a consolidation market, the need of you is not as good if you could, for example, fly with Lufthansa. Do you understand what I'm...
Yeah, but I think for any airline carrier, I think partnership is very, very important, especially for us to go into white spots or areas or destinations where we don't operate to. So regardless, I think for the Air France and KLMs, for the Lufthansa, for IAG, they don't have the aircraft that reaches maybe Australia and New Zealand, for example. I mean, you have, like, for example, BA flies to Australia via Singapore. So you need to have we need to have partners in every part of the world to continue to have a good feed onto the flights or onto the flights that we operate. So that's what SAS gives us. And I think that if you look at the flying time between, say, Stockholm to Singapore, I think we have a very competitive flight time, even if you compare it to any other long-haul carrier, for example. Our flight time, especially also from Oslo as well, they are very, very competitive with the short connecting time in Copenhagen and then onward to Singapore, the flight time to Singapore. So in a way, while we welcome, as I said, the long-haul competitors, I think at the same time, we focus on our network. We focus on giving our passengers the best connectivity out of the Nordics to Singapore and beyond.
Yeah. Do you think long-haul to Asia from the Nordic, and especially Stockholm and Helsingfors, will it ever recover, even though there will be peace in Russia and Ukraine? What do you see in a long perspective?
Yeah. I think travel will recover. I think people would have that need or that want to travel for leisure, for corporate, for business and all that. It's a matter of having the right capacity that is in the market. So for us, with SAS having multiple frequencies to feed our flight in Copenhagen, I think for now that is sufficient. Not only that, we also have a cooperation with SAS to feed onto our flights in London as well, Heathrow. So that allows that connectivity with four flights out of London that we have, not just the morning flights, but also we have night flights that connect to, that reaches Singapore in the late afternoon to early evening. So that allows us to capture the market demand out of here, and I think it has more or less recovered to the whole market from Sweden to Southeast Asia and to Southwest back. But whether there is room for more growth, yes. I think with a population, a very big population of, I think, 10, 15 million here in Sweden, there's always that potential to be tapped. There's always that people that are willing to travel new growth markets in many different parts of Sweden to grow. Yeah.
I will ask in a, will we change, I will ask about Asia. How is like how is it in Asia? Is the recovery, is there more capacity coming on, or what do you think about the development in Asia, especially your part of Asia?
So I guess here you're talking about Southeast Asia. So Southeast Asia, of course, we have, I mean, us, Singapore, which is Singapore Airlines, which is based in Singapore. We have our neighbors of Malaysia and Indonesia. Garuda, I think, is only operating to Amsterdam right now from Jakarta. And of course, Malaysian Airlines. But what we see is that there is, as I mentioned just now earlier in the podcast, is that there is a lot more partnership that is going on. So for us, Singapore Airlines, we have signed a memorandum of understanding, an MOU, or a partnership with Garuda, with Malaysian Airlines, with Thai Airways. So what we see is that there is a so-called more cooperation between the airlines, because each of us are competing on the long-haul market, but at the same time, each of us have complementary networks as well that allows us to grow individually as an airline. So that's where moving forward, what we see in the Southeast Asia market, which is why we have gone on during the pandemic to deepen our cooperation with the airlines that is deemed as our competitors in Southeast Asia itself. So the Thai Airways, Malaysian Airlines, and Garuda, where we have signed many different forms of agreement and cooperation within the last couple of years.
So there will be a consolidation in that market as well, or you will just be colleagues?
Yeah, I wouldn't say consolidation, because I think when we sign a partnership or a collaboration, it's more of working together to be complementary, to allow each other to access each other's network, to be able to grow ourselves organically. So for us, for Singapore Airlines, we want to have our hub in Singapore grow, especially, and to grow to more long-haul markets out of Singapore. And with the partnerships that we have from Garuda, from Malaysia Airlines, and from Thai Airways, that will allow us to grow even further for our long-haul market. Yeah.
Have I forgotten anything to ask that I should have asked?
Well, I'm not sure. Because you may have forgotten to ask a few things, but I think for Singapore Airlines, I think we have our as I say, our brand promise. I think if you look at the long term, we are planning for the long term fleet requirement. I think that was one thing that
sorry, I forgot that. Yeah. One. Yeah. So you have like 190 planes today.
Yes, we have 195 aircraft today between our full service carrier Singapore Airlines, Scoot as well as our cargo our cargo division. So, and we have 100 aircraft on order. And I think, which I can just guess your second part of the question is what aircraft do we have on order, and whether I think that is sufficient to meet our future network requirement. I think for now we have, as I said, 100 aircraft on order, and that is a mix of narrow body and wide body aircraft. I think recently we have rejigged our order books to have less 737s. We converted some 787-9 to 787-10, which is a bigger aircraft. At the same time, Scoot, our low cost subsidiary, they have also this leased 9 Embraer aircraft, which will allow us to serve very thin routes within Southeast Asia to feed into the Singapore hub. So our intention is clear. We want to position ourselves as the network carrier in Southeast Asia to be able to capture the growth that is coming out of the Southeast Asia market to feed into our long haul, where the full service carrier can then grow further in many different markets.
So you're most into Boeing, or you have both Airbus and Boeing?
We have both aircraft and Boeing, and I think that when we have a very competitive RFQ whenever we decide to do a fleet purchase, and it's based on our requirements at that point of time. So if whether we need a denser aircraft, whether we need a narrow body, a wide body, or whether we need something that is complementary to our network, and also, of course, you take into account pilot training, so on and so forth. So a lot of factors come into play, and we have a very good mix, almost an even mix of Boeing and Airbus aircraft in our fleet. And as I also said, now we are introducing the Embraer aircraft into our fleet, especially into the Scoot fleet. So we have three aircraft manufacturers, and Embraer will be their first presence in Southeast Asia. So we are open to you know, to move away from to look at different options that we have. But of course, the main bulk of our fleet will still remain as Boeing or an Airbus aircraft. Yeah.
Okay. Have I forgotten something more?
I'm not so sure whether you have forgotten anything more, but I think I've almost covered as much as I can. If you have anything of your, you know, mind or anything, I will.
I will just say thank you very much for your time, and be very interesting listening to you. And I think the readers of Travel News also think so. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
Ja, det var Singapore Airlines Norden-chef som berättade detta. Jag heter Viggo Kavling och jag är chefredaktör på Travel News. Jag blir jätteglad om du skaffar Travel News Premium. Du vet väl att kunskap är allt när man ska fatta beslut, och på Travel News Premium finns det unik kunskap om reseindustrin. Dina konkurrenter, dina chefer, de läser redan Premium, men du har det inte. Gå till chefen och klaga, eller gå in själv och köp. Och är du missnöjd med priset, då bara hör av dig till mig, skicka ett mejl, så kommer vi överens om ett pris som känns bra för dig. Prenumerera på Travel News podcast, så får du genast veta när vi har något nytt på gång. Och gå gärna bak till systemet och lyssna på intervjuer med kändisar och makthavare i reseindustrin bakåt. Det finns hur mycket som helst att lyssna på. Gör det och ha en fortsatt bra dag. Tack så mycket, hej!
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.